Go to the book of Proverbs and chapter number 14. The book of Proverbs and chapter number 14 in your Bibles. How many of you ate a record all-time attendance amount of food? Amen. How many of you did that? All right. You shouldn't eat that much. The Bible says you're a liberal if you do. The liberal soul shall be made fat, right? That's the Bible. No, that's taking scripture out of context a little bit, okay? And yeah, right, cheesecake. Cheesecake applies to that situation also, right? Amen. It was good. But I did share a couple bites. I did share a couple bites. Anyhow, all right, we're going to look at the subject today in the book of Proverbs called, this subject is the wisdom of the Spirit of Truth. The wisdom of the Spirit of Truth. And we're going to look at the spirit of the Christian spirit and the false spirits that are in the world today. We're going to look at some of that from Scripture this morning as we read here, beginning in Proverbs chapter number 16. And let's begin with verse number 1 in this passage of Scripture. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. Follow along this morning as I read this passage of Scripture. Now notice here, the Bible says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Let's stop there. We'll pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for a wonderful holiday season that we've had and just an opportunity to gather. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless this morning as we come back to your house and open the Word of God this morning. We need something from you. And give us open hearts and minds, Lord, to hear from the Holy Spirit this morning and to allow you, God, to take the preeminence in our heart and in our lives. We love you, Lord. Thank you that you've established the church as a wonderful place where we can come and hear thy word. So bless us and meet with us this morning. We pray in a mighty and a wonderful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, each one of these verses in this passage of Scripture are, it's very powerful. The first three or four verses of this, as you dig into it, and as I dug into it while I was studying, I found it to be very enlightening and very powerful as to the importance of wisdom when it comes to wisdom of the Spirit of God in our life and wisdom to false spirits that are in the world. Now, there is a wisdom, and Scripture guides us through the understanding of the difference of these spirits. We're going to dig into it. We'll look at it. We're going to kind of break this down. I don't know how far we'll get today, but we're going to break this down and look at the passage of Scripture and see what God's trying to teach us in the passage. So let's begin here with verse number 1, and I want you to notice here some words in this verse. Now let's read verse number 1 again. The Bible says, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now, there's a very important principle to gain of wisdom in this passage of Scripture. And it's found in that word preparations. The preparations. Now, when we say preparations, you know, we're thinking of, you know, you're preparing to do something, or like you ladies, preparing all the food for Thanksgiving. And then you have to re-prepare the entire house after Thanksgiving's over. You know that? Yes. But this is how we think of preparations. But now the word here is different. The word preparations here means a mental disposition. It means the way our individual minds think. Now, everybody has an individual mind. God gave us a mind to think. It has a will to it, doesn't it? And everyone is, everyone's mind is affected by the influences they're around. You're going to become affected by the influences. I heard a story, read this about a story. In fact, you can go on YouTube and read this story, but there is a man who is known as the Blue Man. He is blue. His skin, his entire body is blue. Well, how did he get that way? When he was young, somebody told him that if you drink colloidal silver every day, that it is good for your body. That influenced the man. And every day of his life, the man drinks colloidal silver, and it caused his skin to turn blue. Now, what happened is he got a mental disposition about something. And from that mental disposition, he acted upon what his mind had been influenced by. Now, I'm no doctor. I have no idea what colloidal silver will do to you, okay? So don't ask me. But all I know is if you drink it every day of your life, you'll probably turn blue too. Amen? And with gray hair and a blue skin, I look like Papa Smurf, you know? But so just a simple example of how our thinking affects what we do. You say, well, I'm not influenced by anything. I doubt it. I think all of us are influenced by something or someone. The truth is, though, as a Christian, God's Word and the Holy Spirit should be the main influence of our life. That's the main influence, God's Word and the Holy Spirit. Now, there are other spirits in the world that battle that because they're trying to gain our thinking, a mental disposition. The world is always trying to affect us. But God is trying to teach us truth and right. So now here's the principle. Notice the preparations of the heart, the mental disposition of the heart. Now wait a minute. The mental disposition of the heart. Does that sound strange? How do you have a mental disposition in your heart? And here's why. It's because in Scripture, your mind and your heart are synonymous. What's in your mind is in your heart. What's in your heart is in your mind. The two work together. There's another verse on this. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it's impossible to separate your thinking from your heart. If it's in your mind and you think about something, that's what's in your heart. Because Scripture is teaching the preparations of the heart, or the mental disposition, what is in our mind is in our heart. Okay, now let's take it further. And the answer of the tongue. So what's in your heart is how you speak, right? If it's in your mind, and it's also in your heart, that's what you speak. The Bible teaches out of the abundance of the heart, or out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, out of abundance of the mouth. I'm getting it all mixed up today. We speak in accordance to what's in our heart. It comes out of our heart. Our words come from our heart. And somebody says, no. And you ever heard somebody slip those cuss words in there while they're talking? You know, you say, wait a minute. Scripture says that's already there in their heart. That's already there in their mind. That's how it is. So this understanding is key to what he's going to talk to us about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God. Okay? Notice then, the end of verse 11, this is from the Lord. The Lord created our mind and our heart together, and we speak in accordance to what's in our heart and our mind. Okay, now verse 2. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. All right, now, you know, you could take two people who are doing the opposite thing, and both of them think they're doing the right thing. I mean, everybody in this world, you go out in the world, they all think they're doing right. You know, this may surprise you, but even Adolf Hitler thought he was doing the right thing by exterminating Jews from all society. People do wrong under the name of right. But, so there has to be an authority on right and wrong, right? Authority can't be based on what everybody thinks, because everybody thinks something different. And everybody thinks their way is perfect, right? Everybody thinks their way is clean, as the Bible calls it. Okay, but notice he's saying the Lord weigheth the spirits. Now, wait a minute. There are false spirits in this world that influence the mind and the heart of man. And these false spirits are what make people think that I'm clean, I'm in my right eye. But let me tell you something. The Word of God is the test for whether something is clean and pure. You say, how do we know that? Well, take your Bible, if you would, and go with me to 1 John chapter 4. Hold your finger there, and let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Now, not the book of John, but the book of 1 John, back by Revelation. And John deals with this matter of the Spirit of God, and the false spirits that are in the world. So let's look at this. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says here. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, notice, false prophets are influenced by these spirits. What are they? They're false spirits. Now, notice also, they don't come from God. So, how do we know what spirit comes from God? We have to test the spirit or try those spirits. Well, how do we try them? How do we know whether something is true or whether something is right? That's why God gave us His Word. His Word is how we test and try the spirits that are out there. If it goes against the Word of God, then there's a false spirit behind it. And that false spirit is trying to influence the mind and thus the heart. And this is such a grave danger today to the Christian who's not living in the Word of God. Because what happens is a Christian may be saved, they may be on their way to heaven, their salvation may be genuine, but that does not mean that Satan is still not going to try to influence the mind. And so we see a lot of people today that are influenced by these false spirits. And by the way, it makes it clear in verse 1 that these false spirits influence false prophets. They influence false preachers. And historically, if the devil can get a preacher on a false spirit, then that influence can be influenced to people in a false spirit. And that is such a destructive thing in the world. So that's why we have to stick to the truth of the Word of God in context of what Scripture is teaching us and what God is saying. All right, now notice verse 2. He talks a little bit more about this. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, there are spirits out there that say Jesus Christ, you know, he wasn't God. But did you know the Bible teaches that Jesus is the Word? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. He became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. So to deny the Lord Jesus Christ is to take heed to a false spirit that is trying to influence us in our heart and our mind today. There's a connection there. I'll tell you, and we live in a world today where there is every kind of strange, weird, odd spirit out there. I mean, you couldn't sit down and number all the weird stuff that's going on out in this world. And why is that? That's because people have gotten away from the Word of God, which is the authority for right and wrong. It's the only authority that God gave us to judge the spirits, whether they're of God. But we do know that according to this verse, that when someone rejects that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, there is another spirit that is teaching that and another spirit that comes from. All right? And by the way, here's why that's so important is because Jesus Christ is the Spirit of truth. And when you receive Christ as Savior and salvation, the Spirit of truth comes inside of you. The Holy Spirit comes inside to live inside of you, and he guides you into all truth, according to John 16, verse 13. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So if a person, and this is why religion is not enough. Because religion is also influenced by false prophets, false spirits. It has to come from Jesus Christ himself and his word. He is God. All right? Verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is it in the world. Hey, isn't the spirit of Antichrist already in this world? I mean, it's already here. People are hateful of God. And if God is love, why would people be so hateful of God? It's because a spirit has influenced their mind. A false spirit has influenced their mind and clouded them from the truth. And by the way, that is one of Satan's greatest works, is to deceive the mind and the heart of people today through some false spirit, some false way. All right, let's go on, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. He's talking about false spirits in the world. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, isn't that a comfort? Amen. Isn't that a joy to know that when you got saved, you have someone inside of you that is greater than all the spirits of this world? Amen. When he lives inside of you and you're in the Word of God and the Spirit of God work together, they produce truth in our life. And that truth is the truth that guides us into truth, that causes us to know that these false spirits, and when they're out there. You ever heard some new idea, new philosophy come along and it's like, it just didn't sound right? You're like, no, something's wrong about that. You say, what is that? I believe that's the Spirit of God working in the truth of the Word of God and the Spirit of God in a Christian, guiding us into truth and teaching us what a false spirit is. And so we can't do without the Holy Spirit or the Word of God when it comes to understanding the truth of false spirits that are out in the world today. Okay, now verse 5. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. There again, what's in the heart comes out of the mouth, right? And the world heareth them. Now here's the difference, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do you know the difference between truth and error when there are so many spirits floating around? A lot of people don't know what truth is. But truth comes through the Word of God. And the Word of God teaches us about Jesus Christ and the saving grace of Christ, teaches us we're sinners and that we are in need of the saving grace of Christ. And through that, our sins are cleansed and purged and washed away. Amazing, wonderful. Amen. Now, there's more to it. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 16. Are you with me? Still with me? Okay. Okay, so let's go on. Chapter 16, verse 3. Okay, now, here's a powerful verse, and this verse is connected with this truth. Look at verse 3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Okay, now, notice what it does not say. It does not say, commit thy thoughts unto the Lord, and thy works shall be established. It doesn't say that. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So here's the principle. The principle is, when a Christian does what God tells him to do, it doesn't always include this great deep understanding. A Christian does what God wants him to do out of simple obedience. Lord, that's what you want me to do. That's what you said in your word. That's what I'll do it. Then he says, thy thoughts are established. In other words, if you do what God wants you to do, then you begin to understand more of what God wants. And you begin to learn more about God. Learning often comes through doing in the beginning. How many of you have ever had to fix something you had no idea how to fix it? Like every other day, right? Yeah. And you didn't know how to fix it. You know what you did? You said, okay, well, I don't know, but I'm going to dig into it anyway, right? You started working on it and you broke part. Okay. Let's see. Okay. This thingamajig goes in that thingamabob. And that whatchamacallit goes in that whoosie whats. And I think, and little by little, you get it figured out. You got to figure it out by doing. Can I tell you, there are some things a Christian will never learn just by learning and studying Scripture. There are a lot of things you have to learn by just doing them. Out of simple obedience to God. And then the Bible says, your thoughts are established. Now, this ties together with this thing of the Spirit. And here's what it means. You know, if a Christian is not doing something in their life, if you're not doing what God tells you to do, you are going to be more susceptible to the false spirit's influence in your life. In other words, if God gives a command in his word, man, start doing it. Because when you start doing it and you commit your way to the Lord, you start doing it, man, what you're saying to these false spirits is, no, God's right, God's true, his way is right, and I'm going to follow his way. And that is when a Christian really begins to understand things. You know, I think back in my life, 35, 40 years ago, when God taught me that I was supposed to tithe. You know, when he did that, I was like, I can't do this. I can't do that. I thought, Lord, I had to come to a place where I had to commit that to God. I had to come to a place where I said, okay, Lord, boom. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I don't care if I suffer. I don't care if I die. If I starve to death, do I look like I starved to death? We haven't starved to death. Man, all these years, I've been giving that tithe to the Lord. By the way, tithing isn't giving. It's what belongs to God. Amen? And when I started doing that, I began to understand better how God works in our life and how God takes that tithe and uses it and blesses it and multiplies it. But I had to commit that work to the Lord first in order to really understand what God was doing. You know, everything's like that. Everything in the Christian life is like that. Soul winning, praying. You have to commit yourself to doing it. And once you do, God establishes your mind. And here's what it does, and I think the principle is this, in connection with the other verses, is that God takes these evil spirits, and when you're doing what God wants you to do, you are able to keep these evil spirits out of your heart and out of your life. And it all comes when we're doing what we should do, and when we're committing it. Now, here's commitment. Commitment is not how we feel at the time. Commitment is saying there's going to be times when I don't feel like serving God. You know, if I'm a Denver Bronco fan. Now, I wouldn't have admitted that 5 weeks ago. But we're doing a little better, okay? But if my Broncos go to the Super Bowl and the Super Bowl is on a Sunday night, I'm going to have a hard time wanting to come to church. Right? Don't look at me that way. Amen. I'm going to want to watch that game. In fact, I've been a pastor before when my team was, they were going to play. They were playing and I was in church preaching. Because I committed that to the Lord. Amen. I'm committed to the Lord first of all. But here's what the Lord does. Then the Lord, I just have to hit record, right? And go home and watch it later. But here's what I'm saying. When you take something that God commands and you say, Lord, I'm going to commit to it, that is when you begin to understand so much more about God in the Bible. Remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9 when he got struck down on that road to Damascus? That was a picture of his salvation. He said to God, Lord, what wilt thou have me to know? Is that what he said? He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? See, doing is the greatest teacher you could ever have in the Bible. That's why this verse says, let me read it again. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Notice, God establishes that mind of that Christian who says, I'm going to church. I don't care if I feel a little under the weather. I don't care if my hangnail on my pinky finger is hurting today. I'm going to go to church. I'm committed. Listen, your thoughts become established, and these ungodly spirits will have a lot harder time penetrating the mind of someone who's committed to the ways of the Lord. So, this is God's remedy for staying away from the evil spirits. Staying away from, and it's not all evil spirits, but there's a lot of wrong spirits. Just, the devil throws anything out there. The devil throws anything out there, and if it sticks, then the devil says, okay, let's keep trying this one. As long as we're not committed to anything, as long as we're not dedicated to the Lord, the devil doesn't matter. The devil doesn't care. So I believe these first three verses are vital truths causing us to understand in life that our actions of serving the Lord, what we actually do in our Christian life, is going to help us keep the devil away from our heart, our mind, and our thinking in our life. Amen? All right. A lot there. Amen? It was good. That's some good truths there. That was good, even if I said it. It was good. Amen? It's the Word of God. All right. Look at verse number 4. Okay, verse 4, the Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, this verse is teaching us that God's purposes are going to be fulfilled in the end. Now, it's not saying, notice that last phrase, it says, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, it is not teaching that God makes people wicked and evil. It's not saying that God makes certain people that way. That is not what it's saying. What it's saying is that in the end, even the wicked are going to succumb to God's purposes and plans on this earth. God made it that way. God planned it that way, so to speak. But God's not saying, all right, I want you to be good, and I want you to be wicked, and I'm going to make some bad people, and I'm going to make some good people. No, God makes everybody with a free will and a free choice. And what you do, that choice determines that. But in the end, whatever your choice is, God will judge and determine that in the end. Now, it's not talking about a lost person. He's talking about a saved person, a person who's you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, all right? Well, God, there's two judgments. There's two judgments. The first one is the judgment seat of Christ, where all Christians are going to be judged. That's for the saved. That's for the saved. And we're going to be judged according to our works, all right? Then there's the great white throne judgment, where God will judge the lost. And in that great white throne judgment, those that are lost will be judged in accordance to their works. And that is essentially what God is talking about here in this passage of Scripture, even the wicked for the day of evil. So the point is that in the end, God wins. Amen. Right? And what team are you going to choose to be on? I want to be on the winning team. Yeah. And I know the last chapter. Wouldn't it be nice to join up with the football team that you know is going to win the Super Bowl that year? That'd be pretty good, right? But I'll tell you what. The reason to be on God's team is because we know in the end God's going to rule and reign. His purposes will be accomplished in this world. Boy, that should strike fear in the ungodly. Amen. It really should. You say, oh, are you trying to scare us? What's wrong with being scared? There's nothing wrong about being scared for when you're doing wrong. If you're doing wrong, you should be scared. Amen? But there, on the other side of that coin, if you're doing right, living for the Lord, there's a lot of peace that comes in knowing that God in the end is sovereign. And in the end, His will and His commands are going to rule and reign. And if we're on His side and we're living on His side, there is a great peace and a joy. I don't worry about hell today. Thank the Lord. I don't worry about it. It wasn't prepared for the saved. But you know, somebody is lost and they don't know Christ, they better be shaking in their boots. You say, oh, you preachers just trying to scare us. Hey, some are saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. The book of Jude, verse 22 says that. I'd rather get you scared, and you can get saved that way. You can get saved through fear. But it's sure better to get saved through fear than to endure hell forever and ever. Amen? So God's purposes, God's plan in the end is going to be fulfilled. By the way, and if you're reading your Bible and you're keeping up with some of the events of the world, you can't help but see all the pieces of the puzzle start coming together. Yeah. It's coming together, folks. I mean, Russia, China, all that stuff going on in Israel. These are little pieces of the puzzle that God put in His Word to let us know, hey, I'm coming. I'm coming. And it behooves this world to get ready, because there's nothing they're going to do to stop Jesus from coming back again. Amen. 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 God's purposes are going to be fulfilled. All right, now let's go to verse number 6. Verse number 6. Wonderful verse here. Verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So fear is good. Fear is good. Amen? Fear is a motivating factor. Right? If you want to break into my house at 2 in the morning, you better fear. Because my wife is locked and loaded. No. She's locked and loaded too, but if somebody wants to come into your house in the middle of the night, there better be some fear. You know, fear is a detriment to evil. Fear is what keeps evil people at bay. Amen? Now, I know a lot of Christians are like, oh, just love, love, love. God is love. That's the only thing that's love. Hey, they missed those verses about God is a man of war and He's a true judge. They missed some of those verses. Yes, God is love, but God is a God of judgment also for those who go against Him and hate Him, turn against God. You say, I don't believe that. Then you haven't read the Bible lately. Because it's there. It's in God's Word. So, mercy and truth. Now, this verse is great. Mercy and truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. The word purged is the same word as like expunged. And many times in the Old Testament, it's the same word for forgiven. It's the same word for atonement. But it's also the same word for the word pitch. Do you remember in Genesis chapter 6 when Noah built the ark? In Genesis chapter 6, God told him to do what? Seal it within and without with pitch. So Noah, almost said Moses, Noah was to go on in the entire inside of the boat and the entire outside of the boat and cover it completely with pitch. Now, we have this idea in our head that the ark looked like a big wooden structure, and it was made of wood. But I believe every square inch of that ark was covered with pitch. And I don't know the color. I think it was black. I think the whole ark looked black. It was covered inside and out with pitch. Why? To keep the water out. And the water didn't get in because it was within or without with pitch. And so, by the way, the ark is a picture of salvation. Amen? Amen? And but here's the point. The point is, like no water got in the ark, no sin gets in the heart of a Christian by mercy and truth. Isn't that a wonderful promise? By the mercy of God giving us salvation and the truth of Jesus Christ, his Son, paying for our sins on the cross, we have complete purging of sin. Amen? Amen? And God doesn't look at us in a sinner's position. We're in a position of a saved person in the eyes of God. Why? Sins have been purged. Man, that's good. Woo! Man, that'll make a Methodist shout. Amen? Hallelujah. So then he goes on to say, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When, you know, there's coming a day, you know, a lot of people don't fear God today. They have no respect for God. Hateful. Men are violent. You remember, by the way, liberalism has facilitated evil. Let me say that again. Liberalism has facilitated evil. Remember when it used to be 30, 40 years ago, oh, just be tolerant? Remember they taught tolerance? Well, those people that we are tolerant of are now becoming evil people, hateful, ungodly people. And they're not nice little tolerant people anymore. They are the kind of, listen, what we got to do is just keep preaching the word, telling it as God said it. Don't compromise it. Because when truth is compromised, it sends forth an uncertain sound. So God is saying truth and mercy are the keys. By the way, that's what God offers to anybody who wants it. God offers truth and mercy to anybody who will follow him and trust in him. Amen? But those that don't fear God, those that don't have a respect for God, there's judgment and trouble and the sowing or the reaping of their sowing that's coming. You say, oh, preacher, you're just supposed to preach on love and lovey-dovey, good things. I came here to hear all nice things. Hey, listen, if you hear mercy and truth and you get saved and you get to heaven someday, you will be glad. Amen. You'll be glad. Rather than some deceptive spirit teaching you that, you know, whatever way you want to go is the answer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's important that we understand the grace and mercy of God, but also that we understand that God's God of judgment also, and that there is, he's going to win in the end. So God wants us on his side. Amen. All right, let's look at one more and we'll be done. You still with me? Verse 7? I'm going to hit it hard, fast. Verse 7, notice verse 7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, I don't think this means in every case a true, genuine Christian is going to have enemies that are at peace with them. Because there are some who are just given to evil, and they're not going to respond or treat a Christian good, no matter how much of the Lord you have in your life. Now, we're living in that day. We're living in that day. Okay, but here's what the passage, I think, is getting us to understand, is that a Christian often can disarm somebody who is against God or hateful to God, so to speak. I think some examples in the Bible, like the Apostle Paul, when he stood before Agrippa, and Agrippa admitted after Paul gave his testimony, Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, he didn't get saved, but he's making his enemies to be at peace. Remember Queen Esther? When Queen Esther went before the Persian king, she was sticking her neck out, but she did it because of what the Lord would want her to do. And what did it bring? It brought peace to the king. And the king listened to her, and Haman ended up getting hung on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. So I think this is part of what this principle is teaching. I think it's possible, if you live a genuine Christian life, that you can influence some lost person who may be against God or may be not sure or maybe somewhere in the middle. I believe it's possible, as we live for Christ, that we can make peace with the enemies of God, as evidenced by Esther. I think Joseph in Egypt. Joseph was a Jew. He went down to Egypt, and God brought him favor and honor in the sight of the king there. And he literally saved Israel and all because of what God used Joseph to do at that time. And then I also think of Daniel, how he was in Babylon, and how he stood for God. He purposed that he would not defile himself. But yet, the king saw that he would not defile himself, and that brought him honor and favor, even to the wicked Babylonians of that day. So I think these are evidences of what Scripture can do. And so practically in life, can I say to you, it pays as a Christian to live and be a genuine Christian in the workplace. Wherever you go, whatever you do, it'll pay. It'll pay. And one of the most blessed things in life is to see and somebody who's on the fringe see the life of a real Christian. And it brings light into their life, and they want what you have. And for the sake of time, I've got more illustrations, but I don't have time to give you. But I want to say to you today, this should encourage us to live more like a Christian in our life every day. Amen? Amen. All right, we've got to stop there. Let's dismiss in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Use it in our heart and in our life, Father, and help us, I pray, to gain the truths for our own hearts, I pray. Bless the upcoming church hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, get around and greet someone this morning. We'll start church here in about 5 minutes. All right, you're dismissed.